Well, first off, thanks for coming out today. It's obviously a day of sorrow for Jerry as well as Harriet. I'd like to dedicate this message to Jerry, my brother in the Lord, and my sister, Harriet Bowman. And I'm just going to try to present what Jerry has always taught me, a good gospel message today, to rearrange things a little bit, and how important he always taught me when I give messages to give the gospel and to make sure that people accept Christ as their Savior. And he always pounded that into me. And I think this message today is going to sum up exactly what he'd want me to preach. And I'm going to try to do the very best I can. And I just thank you. And I just pray that this affects people out there. The title of my message is, Does God Give Up on People? Can a man spiritually pass the point of no return? Can he so stubbornly and arrogantly sin against God? Can he be so willfully rebellious that God will give up on him? Well, before we start that, we're going to look at two scriptures. If you could turn to Proverbs in your Bibles, chapter 29. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture, and we're going to see what God's talking about in his message about giving up on people, if it's too late or if they pass the point of no return. So I'll start with Proverbs 29. It's just the one passage we're going to read here. It says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And if you would turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now keep that passage in mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. And I'll just read a few passages there. It says, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, after reading that, we would think God send delusion. Now, you probably would think God would be here to tell us the truth. Why would God delude a person? Delude means to be deceived. "For this cause God will send them strong delusion." Now, why would God send people strong delusion? He goes on to say that they should believe a lie. You mean God wants people to believe the lie? Well, it gets worse. They all might be condemned. They all might be damned. Now, you're telling me that God sends delusion, that people would believe lies, that they might be damned. That's what it says, black, white, black print on white paper. Why would God do that? He goes on to say that there are the ones that believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God spoke to them, God gave them truth over and over and over again. Now see, the opposite of truth is not error, it is sin. See, you're faced with the truth, and you know if you receive that truth, you'll have to turn from your sin. Over here, a man has truth. Over here, he has sin. Now, when he is faced with the truth, he refuses the truth. He embraces his sin. The opposite of truth here is unrighteousness. In this passage of Scripture, "And when that man turns from his truth, he being often reproved, corrected, he hardens his neck, he turns toward his sin, then the baggage that he has is strong delusion, which God gives you with your stubbornness. And that the baggage is your just judgment that you have coming to you. When a man says, I'd rather have my sin than God's truth, God says, all right, with your sin, you will be giving strong delusion with that. And that's the reason why people are in false cults today. A man may come into a church like this, and the gospel might be preached, and he might get all bent out of shape and say, I didn't come here to hear that kind of garbage. He doesn't ask if it's true or not. He leaves and goes about his own ways of life. 3 weeks later, he's at home. His wife's out shopping. His kids are at school. He's got a six-pack of Budweiser next to him. He hears a knock at the door. He goes to the door. He says, who is it? He says, we're here to tell you there's no hell. He goes, come on in. And he believes the lie. You may say he's sincere, but he's sincerely wrong. When he knew the truth, he loved not the truth, but he had pleasure in unrighteousness. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they may believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He that is often reproved and hardeneth in his neck will suddenly be destroyed. Man, is that scary? You suddenly die. There may be the destruction of the mind through delusion. There may be the destruction of the spirit through desertion. John 6:44 says, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me brought him. Don't get the idea that one day you're going to whistle and say, God, come save me. Did you know that unless the Holy Spirit of God brings you under conviction, you'll never be saved? He's the one that has to put you under conviction. The Bible teaches that you can so insult God, you can say no to the Holy Spirit of God so many times that God's Holy Spirit will cease to work in your heart. Basically, there's going to be only so many times he's going to knock and knock and knock and knock and knock. You know, we've seen it so many times. I mean, a buddy of Dan's has been given it so many times. And he was killed in a car accident a couple years ago, suddenly, just like God says. Going through an intersection, 31 years old, had a baby, was saved, but sudden destruction at the intersection, just like that. Just like it describes, so true. As an example, three times in the first chapter of Romans, God speaks on giving up on people. Now, let's turn to Romans, if we could, the first chapter of Romans, and we can explain that. Now, we're going to see how God gives up on people here. God speaks on giving up on people. We got a little country gospel going today, folks. Okay, now let's try to look into this. This is really interesting. Now, I'm going to start Romans verse 16 of chapter 1, and pay attention, if you could, just where it would say, and God gave them up, and then God gave them over. It says, 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the first Jew, for the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So he's given them truth. He's showed them truth. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up, second time here now, unto vile affections. For even their own women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men and men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did, not like to retain God in their knowledge, God, this is unbelievable, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient. So we see there, God has given them truth. He's given them truth over and over again, and he finally gives them over. What the old-time preachers would call that is when the lights go out on the road to hell. The Holy Spirit of God no longer speaks to a man. Genesis 6:3 says, before the flood, my spirit will not always strive with man. Don't get the idea that the Holy Spirit conviction is going to stay in your heart and in your life. You may come to a place of sudden destruction in your spirit as well as in your mind, where the Holy Spirit of God no longer speaks to you and God no longer draws you. I'm going to share this story with you guys now. It's perfect timing to do this. This is a true story. Let me see. I've got to grab a hymnal over here. There's a pastor, and I shared this with Dan before. There's a pastor named Joe Henry Hankins. Has anybody ever heard of him? He tells his gospel message real clearly. He was giving a message one time. He's from Arkansas. And he was giving this message out one time, and he was given the invitation to anybody that would like to come forward and accept Christ as their Savior. And he saw this kid in the balcony up there. And as this kid stood in the balcony up there, he had his hymnal open like this. As he gave the invitation, he saw the kid up there step out, and then he stepped back. And then he opened his hymnal up again. He stepped out again. And then he stepped back into the aisle right there. And then finally, he saw this kid up there, close the book, put the book down, and it looked like he was heading out to go to the front to accept the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. But he said he saw this kid leave the church. He walked out, he never saw him again because he was looking like he was coming towards him. So the preacher, I don't know how this happened, but 2 weeks later, that same kid was in a hospital. And the preacher found his name in the paper and went to actually visit this kid in the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, he said, he got by his bedside, he said, son, he goes, let me ask you a question. He goes, were you in church such and such a day a couple weeks ago? He goes, yes, I was.
He goes, well, I saw you up on the balcony up there. And he goes, it looks like you wanted, when I gave the invitation for you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it looks like you were wanting to come out there. And he says, well, why didn't you come? He says, I remember my sin, my favorite sin. And he says, he was in a battle, basically. He had God's Holy Spirit working on him, and he had Satan working on him at the same time with the battle going on. And he says, I remember my favorite sin, and he says, which I think was immorality, from what he said. He says, and he's decided he was going to keep his sin and just go about his life. Well, the preacher asked him, he says, well, son, he goes, how long do you have to live? He goes, I'm going to die. He goes, you don't have to beat around the bush with me. He goes, I already know I'm going to die. So the preacher, on this guy's deathbed, basically, this kid, he says, well, you can't have that sin anyway. Why don't you give your heart to Jesus? And the kid says something that just he'll never forget. And it's mind-blowing. He goes, you don't understand. He goes, when you gave that invitation to receive Christ as my Savior, he goes, I wanted to jump over that balcony so bad I'd get down there. He goes, but as soon as I shut the book and walk out of the church, he goes, something died in me. He says, I can't give my heart to Jesus. I guess the preacher wept and pleaded for this boy's soul. But he said the boy died without accepting the Lord Jesus, and now he's in hell. But the moral of the story is just what it says. There's only so many times that the Lord is going to knock on your heart. And he's only going to give you so many chances. But something died in that kid's heart. When I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I was watching a Billy Graham special, but the spirit of conviction was upon me that day. No doubt about it. No doubt. I was shaking in my knees. I couldn't wait to get on my knees and ask Christ to be my Savior because of where I was headed when I died. And I tell you what, lately, with what's been going on in this world, I've seen so many deaths and been to so many funerals lately. We're a step away. We are a heartbeat away from eternity. Just like that. People get the idea you're going to live forever or live to 80 or 90 if they got to set up their funds or their retirement. I mean, it's just such silly nonsense. I mean, if you really, really think about it, this life is so short. I was just talking to some guy the other day at my dad's, visiting my dad, and the guy said that his son was a Lamoille police officer for 30 years. I said, oh, really? He had a wife and a kid or something like that. He says, yeah, he dropped dead of a heart attack at 48 unexpectedly. I mean, just like that. I said, well, did he have any problems? He goes, no. He goes, nobody saw it coming. He said, he was at his house, sitting on the couch. That's it. I said, when did this happen? He said, 4 years ago. I said, well, that's pretty young. 48 years old. Wife and a kid. So, we're not promised tomorrow. And I like what me and Phil were talking about here today. It's just that we know not what today's going to bring. We're not promised tomorrow. You know, we're not even promised the next probably 10, 15 minutes, if you think about it.
So we see that often being reproved, harden your neck, and you're suddenly destroyed. And there may be the desertion of the Spirit where the Holy Spirit of God no longer speaks to you. We've learned that now. There may be the sudden death of the body. Well, you say you have plenty of days to live, like we just discussed. Well, how do you know? How do you know? It may be the last sermon you'll ever hear is right here today. He that being often reproved shall suddenly be destroyed. It just takes one bad incident at an intersection, for example. For you to be out in eternity, and just don't forget, don't think that eternity is way out there. It's just a heartbeat away. You know that's the only thing between me and heaven, and the only thing between some people here today and hell is a heartbeat. There is but a step between me and death. Notice what it says now when it is being often reproved. Being often reproved means that spiritual conviction. When you harden your neck, that is what is called stubborn rebellion. And we see it out there so much when people just stiff-necked, they're hardened, they don't want to hear the gospel, they don't want to hear about Jesus, they don't want to hear that garbage. Everybody knows somebody that just doesn't. They're stubborn. You know, it's like, you know, God doesn't put you into hell. Your sins put you into hell. That's what you're choosing. I mean, God has given you simple truth. And it just amazes me how people just don't want it. They want hell. And that's what they're choosing to do. You got a free will. You have a choice. God gives you truth. All you got to do is read the truth and do what it says and do as He asks you to do. Now, see, here's what the scary part about this is. If we go back to Proverbs at the end of this, it says, "He that is often being reproved hardens his neck and shall suddenly be destroyed." And here's the key word. This is what's sad for these people. It says, "Without remedy." There is no second chance. You're not going to go die and stand before God and then God's going to just give you another chance. It's not going to happen. That's an interesting word. It says without remedy. There's nothing you can do. That's scary. We look at God's truth, and I wanted to read, how much truth He just gives us. John, if you could turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Gospel of John. And I just want to read what He says about His truth to us. John chapter 17. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on earth, and I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest me them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are mine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou hast given me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. He's given them his word and his truth. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, and the word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that thou also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have I known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me be in them, and I in them. So you see here, the Lord is just giving us his truth to be had without excuse. I pray that anybody that hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, you do it today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to accept the Lord. Today is the day to trust in the Lord. Today is the day to have faith in the Lord. And in closing, I just want to say how much Dan's father meant to me and how much he's taught me. I'm going to miss Jerry, and I'm going to miss Harriet. And as Christians, we will see them again when it's our turn to go. And they're in glory with the Lord, and that's far better than being here. But I just wanted to say how much Jerry meant to me. He really did. I spent a lot of time with him. I went over to his house. I just sat with him, talked to him. We read Bible verses. I went to breakfast with him a lot, dinner a lot. And, you know, part of me, you know, misses him quite a bit and stuff like that. But as Dan was saying, you know, around this assembly, you know, I was talking to Phil earlier about that, and it makes so much sense. As you go, some churches you go to where they have 4,000 or 5,000 people that they don't know any, but they don't know each other. You come to a little small assembly here, and everybody knows everybody. So, I mean, you know, figure that. Only the Lord, how he works. But I just pray that everybody continues to come back here and helps us out here and just grows in the Lord and keep your focus. And like Dan said, we just have to pick up where Jerry left off, and I think we'll be okay. And we'll be better, stronger, and just keep, you know, walking that torch down, you know, the road for the Lord. So, but in closing, I'll just close. Father, I just thank you for this hour that you've given me to speak your word. I pray, Lord, that I've done a good job in your sight, Lord. I just pray that the gospel was preached. I thank you for the wisdom and knowledge you've given me to study your word, Lord, and your peace. And I just pray, Lord, today for Dan and Alana and Tina. I just pray for the funeral or the viewings today and tomorrow, and I just pray for the funeral on Tuesday. I pray for John Hutchison. I pray for Ken Hampton. I just pray for everybody that was involved in Jerry's life, Lord. I just pray that this goes good throughout the week, and I just pray for my brother in Christ, Dan, whom I love so much, Lord, and I grieve right along with him, Lord, and I know it's been hard on him, Lord, but I know that you say that time heals all wounds, Lord, and each day will get better for him. And just let us brothers just be here for him to lean on, Lord, when he needs to, Lord, and it's going to be okay, Lord. We have you, and you strengthen us, Lord, and we just ask you to get us through the next 2 or 3 days over here, Lord, and just be with each and every one of us, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, today for, you know, being able to preach again, Lord. It is my pleasure and honor to do that for you, Lord, and I just lift the rest of this day up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Uh-uh.